December the 16th, six games, only one tomorrow, and then none. So sad days to come. Today was an interesting day. We had some returns. We had some vintage performances, namely Jimmy Butler. We had no Joel Embiid. Plenty to talk about. Let's just jump into it. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Go and find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please take a minute to subscribe and appreciate, like, thumbs up, five star, I don't know, whatever. Do it all. We really appreciate it. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Six games to get through today. We had some good ones. We had a couple of not so good ones, but we'll talk about them all. The first game, Miami and Detroit. Unexpectedly a good game. Detroit get the win in the end, 125 to 124 in overtime. They were up big. Miami made a run. Pistons held on. Jimmy Butler, let's just start with him. Easily his best performance of the season. If you could do it, if you could pull off a sell high, I doubt you can, but if you can, do it now. 35 points, 19 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. I don't know, not much to say. We haven't seen this all season. Where has it been? Yeah, I mean, the rest of the team wasn't great, but Jimmy kept them afloat. They didn't get the win, but yeah, look, maybe he'll take a week off now. He feels like he's done his job. Hayward Highsmith, no thanks. Not really a lot to talk about. Not Bam's best game, not his worst game. Tyler Hero had 23 and 4, but shot the ball poorly. Duncan Robinson had 3 threes. He's just a 3-point streamer. Thought Rozier looked okay in this one. Only 11 points. He had 6 assists, 5 rebounds and a steal. But 34 minutes. If he's getting 34 minutes a night, he's probably an ad. But we just don't know if that is happening. We got no Khalil Ware, sadly. We got Kevin Love for 12 minutes and just a lot of Bam Adebayo. 41 minutes. This was obviously an overtime game, but yeah, a lot of Bam, a little bit of Love, no Ware. That's unfortunate. Detroit. Great win for Detroit. Some shuffling of the rotation here. Asar Thompson moved into the starting lineup. Malik Beasley moved into the starting lineup. Jaden Ivey was a very late scratch, probably after lineups locked. I don't have him in any of my teams, so it didn't impact me, but it felt like it came really late. And I did see a, Lone Dez. Can't believe they scratched Jaden Ivey. It was one of those late ones that you just can't do anything about. Malik Beasley continues to play very well this season, 28 points, 7 threes. He is, along with Santi Aldama, the longest stream in history. Keep rolling with him. Cade Cunningham, 20 points, 11 rebounds, career-high 18 assists. He looks unbelievable. I just drafted him in a Dynasty League at pick 9, I think. Paired him up with LaMelo Ball, pretty happy with that. Jalen Duren, look, 32 minutes is nice. 16 rebounds. This is why we drafted him. Close to double-digit points, a lot of rebounds, a little bit of defense. So this is bang on where we thought he would be. He just hasn't been here. Isaiah Stewart injured his ankle, I believe, in this one. Is that what it was? I think it was his ankle. Let me just triple check. Knee. That's right, knee hyperextension. Yep, so it was his knee. So could miss time here. If that's the case, there's probably more minutes on offer for Jalen Duren and the recently signed Paul Reed, who they released, waived, a week ago? They re-signed him hours ago, like earlier today, he played 12 minutes. Just keep an eye on what his minutes might look like because, if he played 12, Isaiah Stewart played 7, that's 19 minutes. If we get 19, 20 minutes of Paul Reed, he is a name to watch. Tim Hardaway, nice game for him, but we'd much prefer Malik Beasley. And the big question, Asar Thompson. And I'm sure there'd be an Asar Thompson. Yes, there is an Asar Thompson question. Is Asar an ad? Putting things into perspective, there was no Tobias Harris. There was no Jaden Ivey. So there's two starters gone, 60 minutes. Isaiah Stewart only played 7 minutes. So this was best case scenario, but Asar Thompson we know can do this. He did it to start last season. He finished with 19 and 9, 4 steals and a block. He's very much like his brother in terms of what he brings to the court or to the table. Very good rebounder for a guard. Well, he's guard slash forward, but a good rebounder nonetheless. Defensive upside, some efficiency issues from the line and a little bit raw offensively. So Amen is a little more polished than Asar at this point. But, if you want to take a flyer on Asar, I think you can do that. It doesn't sound like Tobias Harris is going to miss significant time, but Detroit also would be okay giving him a couple of games off. So the minutes are encouraging for Asar. The worry is that he moves back to the bench and plays 20 minutes. So this may just be purely an outlier. But if you want to get ahead of it just in case it turns into something, then by all means go and pick him up. And the bench, no one there. Paul Reed, like I said, keep an eye on his role if Stewart does miss time. And I do see the questions. We will. I might answer some of them while I'm going through the games, but we'll get through the games first because there's a few in there. Okay. Philly at Charlotte. No Joel Embiid, obviously. No Jared McCain. So we did get Andre Drummond starting. I think I mentioned this on the pregame show. I thought he would get the start against Mark Williams and Nick Richards. He did. And he had a good game. 15, very eerily similar to Jalen Duren, actually. 9 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. And this is why we thought Drummond was an ad at the start of the season. But he just played like crap. So he wasn't. Embiid is going to miss the rest of the week. They play Charlotte. And I know they play Charlotte next. So rinse and repeat, I'm assuming. They won. He played well. So he will probably start. And assuming he is playing well, then we could be in for another streamable performance for Andre Drummond. KJ Martin started. He'd been okay, but, this was not his best game, obviously, and we don't need to prioritise him. We got a good Paul George game and a Tyrese Maxey game together. Maxey ended with 40 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. The shooting was a little bit down. That's going to happen when Embiid's not there because he's just tasked with doing more. And Kelly Oubre, who I picked up in a 12 team league. Nice. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, 4 of 6 from the line, not ideal. 7 of 11 from the field is good. So we just keep rolling with Kelly Oubre. With no McCain there, he's going to be playing big minutes. Yabusele moved to the bench. I do think as long as Embiid's out, he's someone to consider for streaming. This was not a great matchup. Could be better in the next one, although I do think he may have peaked already this season. So there was a reason that he was with the Celtics and then was let go. I don't think his upside is that high. For Charlotte, LaMelo Ball returned. He was on a minutes restriction. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well. 5 of 15 from the line, 2 of 4. 5 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from the line. But he finished with 15 and 11, 4 steals, 5 rebounds, 3 threes, and 26 minutes, and looked pretty good. So I think that's the biggest takeaway here. Their offense looked better. I know they lost, I should say the score, shouldn't I? They lost 121 to 108, but their offense looked better with him at the helm, unsurprisingly. Those around him played better. Miles Bridges had his best game in quite a while, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Josh Green, he's sort of very back end. The minutes are there. Grant Williams is gone. So 10 points, 4 steals, a block. If you need some defensive stats and occasionally some offense, he's okay. Brandon Miller left this game with an ankle injury. And I would assume he misses a bit of time here. It didn't look terrible, but I would assume he misses at least a couple of games. If that is the case, we get a little bit more Cody Martin, some more Tijan Salu. That's sort of it. Nick Richards was very good off the bench, 19 points, 5 rebounds, a steal and a block. Don't fall for this. However, Mark Williams and LaMelo, I would monitor their status heading into the next game because it is the first of a back-to-back. There is a chance that both of them miss one of those games. Whether they stagger them, I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if each of them miss one of the next two games, which would make Nick Richards just a soft hold for at least the rest of the week. Potentially Vasily Micic as well. This was terrible. Hopefully you weren't holding him here. 0 points, 5 assists. But yeah, if we get word that LaMelo is going to miss the next game, I would go and add Micic as a one-game streamer, as well as Nick Richards. Well, that was slow. Cleveland at Brooklyn, one of the games that was not very exciting. Cleveland get the win, 130 to 101. Brooklyn looked really bad. I'll do Cleveland quickly, but we actually don't need to talk about them at all because this was such a blowout win. The starters played like 23 minutes, 24 minutes, except for Donovan Mitchell. So I really don't have anything to say here. LeVert looked good, but 19 points in 19 minutes is not sustainable. So he's still someone to probably roster in a 12-team league, but he's very back-end. Let's just move straight on to Brooklyn. Cam Johnson, he looked fine. 22 points, 9 of 13 from the line. He'll be fine. He's going to handle the ball. He's going to shoot the ball. He can basically do what he wants until Cam Thomas is back. As for the rest of the team, though, I think it's just going to be for lack of a better term, it's going to be a shit show. We don't know who's going to play minutes. Ben Simmons, they said, would play extra minutes, but wouldn't get past sort of mid to high 20s. He played 31. If he's going to play 30 minutes, he is someone to add. Absolutely. 10 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 6 turnovers as well. But we need to add him. Claxton is still a hold, but he's been pretty bad as well. Honestly, they're not going to do it. I would just throw De'Ron Sharpe in there. He looks so much better. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals in his 20 minutes. He's interesting because the Nets, I think they're just going to get blown out a lot, which could mean De'Ron Sharpe, maybe he plays 20 minutes a night for the next few weeks. I don't know. But of all those guard guys, the players we were looking at to step into Schroeder's shoes, Keon Johnson, Jalen Wilson, Tyrese Martin, Shake Milton, they all played about the same. Jalen Wilson played 29, to be fair. Shake Milton only 17 minutes, but he did foul out. So obviously not a good line for him, 5 and 5 with an assist. If you added him, I'd probably give him one more game, because I do think that the fouls were an impact here. So I probably wouldn't be making any significant moves after this game, other than probably adding Ben Simmons, maybe Jalen Wilson. That's probably it. I think at this stage, I think we need to see another game or two before we make any calls. Okay, Chicago get the win over Toronto, 122-101 for the Bulls. Dosunmu played a lot of minutes, 40 of them, 12, 5, and 5 with a steal and a block. So he is a must roster player at this stage. There was no Zach LaVine, so Patrick Williams moved into the starting lineup and did very little. 2 blocks and a steal. That's about it. I really don't know what the Bulls see in him, but whatever. We're not adding him. Vooch returned from his illness. He had 24, 5, and 3 with 2 blocks. Kobe White was good. Josh Giddey, he injured his ankle, and I would also assume that he misses time here. I would say a week, 2 weeks. And it's a shame because he was playing really well. 24 minutes, he had 11, 9, and 8 with 2 steals and a block. So was on track for a very nice performance here and has been playing well. So hold him. If he misses time, LaVine would obviously probably come back in and just play that role. Kobe White would shift to the point guard. So I don't think there'd be any significant changes. Talen Horton-Tucker, there's going to be Talen Horton-Tucker questions. 25 minutes, 15, 4, and 2 with 2 steals. But just have a look at his game log before this, before you run out and add him. I would much prefer Lonzo Ball, to be honest, even though he's capped. He had 8, 6, and 7 with a steal and a block in his 23 minutes, and that is far more sustainable than what Talen Horton-Tucker is doing. So Lonzo, interesting. If Giddey misses time, he might be a back-end 12-team pickup. Jalen Smith was good in limited minutes, but he's not going to play enough when Vooch is healthy. For Toronto, Jonathan Mobo, hopefully you didn't add him. I've said I'm not that high on him at this stage. He might turn into something. He had 4 points and a block in 28 minutes. RJ Barrett, very good in this one, 32-9, doing a lot more of the ball handling without Scotty Barnes. Grady Dick had 27 points. When his shot is falling, he's very good. So hopefully you didn't drop him at any point. Ochai Agbaji, he's a little bit BJ Boston-ish, so he's just finding a way to value. 15 points, 3 rebounds. Didn't do much else. He's very borderline, but playing 31 minutes, the floor is probably safe enough. And Jakob Poeltl in this one suffered a groin injury. No word yet. He's going to have scans and that sort of thing. But groins can be tricky, as we know. The Raptors have no incentive to have him out there. They're currently last, I'm pretty sure. Oh, I'd have to look somewhere else, but I'm pretty sure they're last in the standings, in their division, towards the bottom in the conference. So, yeah, we might get a week or two of no Jakob Poeltl. I would love for that to mean a week or two of Kelly Olynyk, but I'm very skeptical. Olynyk only played 13 minutes in this one. Chris Boucher played 21. He had 11 and 10 with a block. Kelly Olynyk had 7, 3 and 1 with 2 steals. Per minute, Kelly Olynyk would be the preferred if they do decide to go with a bit of a minute split and just go 24 each. But we haven't seen them extend Olynyk to that point yet. So they might just have to run a small roster. You can see they have Bruno Fernando down there as well, who could they might dust him off and roll him out there. They have done that before. But keep an eye on it. If Olynyk steps into a bigger role here, 20, 22 minutes, he would be someone worth a look, I think. Denver and Sacramento. That's why we're a little bit late. I was just waiting for this game to finish. Denver get the win 130-129. Denver got out big early. They were up by about 20, I think, in the first quarter. Sacramento came back on the back of Malik Monk, but Denver hold on. Jokic was a little bit quiet offensively, but still finished with 20, 14, 13, 3 steals and a block, so still a very nice night for him. Jamal Murray, he played through his injury, had 28 and 6. He looked good. Aaron Gordon, one of his better games in the last little bit as well. And Russell Westbrook started. I thought they'd go with Strouther, but they went with Westbrook. And he actually looked pretty good out there, 18, 9, and 10 with three steals. If Christian Brown misses more time, he was questionable coming into this one, so I don't think it's a long-term injury. Westbrook would be the add. Strouther looked okay, 13 points off the bench. But obviously, if it's Westbrook starting and playing 35 minutes, he is the guy we want. In Sacramento, as I said, Malik Monk got hot during the third quarter. He finished with 25 points, 9 assists. Look, all the starters were pretty good in this one. Even Doug McDermott, who got the spot start with Keegan Murray ruled out, he had 16 points, including 4 threes. He's just a streamer, nothing more, nothing less. Keon Ellis, so we talked about him in the pregame show maybe, and I think in my sit-start article I said he is probably a start this week given the Kings have 4 games. He finished with 12 points, 5 blocks, 2 steals, 6 rebounds. So the 33 minutes, very encouraging. Kevin Huerter, who cares? I don't know when he's coming back. They clearly should play Keon Ellis over him. I don't know whether they will. But as long as Huerter's out, I think Keon Ellis is an add. All right. And now I don't think, has this updated? I'm just trying to see if this, I don't know if it updates. Let me just have a look. So the last game of the night has finished, I believe. Oh, it's almost finished. Okay. Well, let's just look at it anyway, because it's it might as well be finished. It is currently 144 to 107 Clippers over the Jazz. So we don't really need to decipher this one too much. Let's start with the Utah side of things. Minutes way down, except for John Collins. Is this the showcase that we all talk about? Lauri Markkanen was good. Walker Kessler, 23 minutes. He finished with 10, 7, a steal and a block. So you'll take that when they're getting blown out like this. Colin Sexton, 24 minutes. He was better in this one, but I'm worried. It does look like this could just be a timeshare between he and Jordan Clarkson. And that makes both of them very borderline. I don't think they need to be added, but they're fine to hold on to. I will be holding Sexton in. I have him in a 14-team league, or maybe I have him in a 16. Anyway, I'll be holding him for another couple of games. Not really looking at anyone on the bench there, though, for the Jazz. And for the Clippers, very easy win. Harden, only 31 minutes, 41 points, 6 assists. Again, we don't need to take too much away from this one. Norm Powell had his shot going, 29 points, not much else. Chris Dunn got you 2 steals and 12 points. That's about all you can ask for. And then their bench, despite playing good minutes, in a game like this when it's just a scrap, more of a scrimmage, really hard to put up good numbers. Kevin Porter, 24 minutes so far, 7, 6, and 6 with 3 steals. So if you could hit a shot, this would actually be a nice line. But, yeah, we're not making any moves based off a 40-point blowout like this. And that's all the games. Let's have a look at questions. There's a lot. Okay. All right, Jimmy. Ones that I haven't answered. Managers. Actually, it's just a lot of chat. And that's fine as well. So do I think Asar is an ad? Yeah, I think you can, as I said, if you want to try and get ahead of it, go and add him. Who would you sell high for regarding Jimmy? Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just checking injury news to make sure there's nothing that's come up. Who would you sell high for Jimmy? Look, he's probably a top 50 player, I think, this season. So if you could move him for a top 50 player, if you could get, I don't know, who's someone that's struggling a little bit, who's sort of similar. OG, I'd probably take OG over him, maybe. I'd take DeRozan if you could move Jimmy Butler for DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, that sort of thing. That I don't think anyone's going to give you a top 20 player for Jimmy. Not at this point in his career. Fat Cookie Monster. Should I trade PJ Washington and John Collins for Jaylen Brown in a 7-team ESPN points league? So waivers would be pretty deep, I would assume, if it's only a 7-team league. So you can probably pick up someone off waivers who are getting you a decent amount of points. I mean, have you got an idea of who you would be picking up off waivers? Because that would probably impact this one here. Sorry, I'm just reading something. If you could pick up someone, I mean, in a points league, Jaylen Brown is very good. He's like a second rounder, third rounder. John Collins is, I don't know what he is. He's probably top 80, top 90, maybe. And PJ is an interesting one, but he's probably in that sort of range too. So you're probably taking a hit in terms of the points you're sending out and the points you're getting back, but it also frees up a spot for you to potentially stream and bolster those numbers. So I think it's okay. Does Dyson Daniels have higher upside than Washington in points leagues? Points leagues. I think it's pretty close. They're very different, obviously. I don't know. I might actually lean PJ slightly. I know I'm a Dyson guy, but in points leagues, I just think I think that Washington has a little bit more upside. Steve says take Brown as well. Like I said, I think in a 7-team league, you could do that. Drop Claxton for Duren. It's two rough players this season. Start of the season, I would have said absolutely. Where are we at now? Claxton's been really disappointing as well. I still think I might hold Claxton. I don't know. It's tough. I think it's pretty close. I think I'd be okay with doing it or okay with not. Did Drummond actually attempt two threes? Did he? He probably did. I know there was a period where he was talking about adding that element to his game. Yeah, it looks like he did. Yeah. do I think Melo sits on the back-to-back? Yeah, I think he could. He might sit one of them. So if you've got Micić, hold for the next game and see. Haven't seen the Giddy injury. It wasn't great. Just go onto Twitter and look it up. Like I said, I think this is a missed time injury. Is Jakobs a short-term thing? He slipped on the floor, which is never good because it means your body is not prepared for the movement. So he may, and in fact, you can actually be moving in one direction and your body goes in the other direction. So it's quite a unique situation. So it can be bad, but it can also mean that the muscles are a bit more relaxed and so the damage isn't as significant. So we need to wait. Planning on picking up Kelly or Mobo. Mobo in terms of playing time, Kelly in terms of per minute. But like I said, he only played 13 minutes tonight. It was a little bit of more of Boucher. And then I think we'll find if Pirtle is out, it'll actually be Fernando that will start. Yes, we all love Lonzo. He's an amazing fantasy player. So I really hope he can stay healthy as well. My opponent was rewarded for holding Russ for a month like an idiot. Yep. Well, that happens. If you just forget to drop a player, you do benefit from time to time. 13-team, 9-cat league. Should I drop Jonas for a start? Yep, that's fine. Keon Ellis, a pickup? Yes, I think so. Should I trade PJ Washington and John? Oh, we answered that one. Yep. Okay. Schroeder or Sochan? I like Sochan. He does it a little bit more defensively. And I have no idea how Schroeder is going to fit into this this rotation in Golden State. Dyson Daniels is on the waivers in that team. Okay, so you'd be getting Jaylen Brown and Dyson Daniels. Yes, then I would do that. Yeah, because I think PJ and Dyson and Collins are pretty close. Brown is quite clearly the best points player, points league player. So, yes, I would absolutely do that. Yeah, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised that Dyson, I know it's a points league, he's not as valuable in points leagues, but he's been scoring a little bit. He's been getting some rebounds, gets his blocks and steals. I can either trade for Garland or Maxey if the guy wants to keep Brown instead. Oh, okay, so you can get Brown, Garland, or Maxey. I don't know. I feel like Maxey would be good in a points league, wouldn't he? Better than Garland, I think. I think Maxey and Brown would be pretty close, and I think Garland would be a downgrade. The Garland one, I'm not sure I would do it. Maxey, I would. Think Duren is better than Claxton on a nine cat. Yeah, like I said, I think both. I think it's pretty close. Would I drop Ayton for Duren? It's such a hypothetical for me because I would never draft Ayton. Per minute, like production, absolutely not. Ayton is, as low as I am on Ayton, he is a better per minute player than Jalen Duren. But as we've seen, he's injured all the time or sick or whatever. So this is only one good game from Duren as well. So we need to wait to get some updates on Isaiah Stewart. I don't think either of them are elite this season. The only way Ayton would be elite is if for some reason he decides to play the next 40 games and actually try. Then he could be a top 30 player, but I'm so out on him. So I think I'd be okay with this, but I would wait to hear about Isaiah Stewart first. Okay, and I think we're... Oh, okay, so ESP, here's my lack of knowledge about ESPN leagues. Steals and blocks are worth more in ESPN leagues. So, yeah, so Dyson would be worth a lot because he averages 4 defensive stats a game, pretty much. Worried about Draymond's role shift. Yeah, look, I mean, he's getting older and the Warriors have a deep rotation. He's been in and out of the starting lineup. So I don't think he's going to play as much as he has in the past, and I don't think the Warriors want him to. So, yeah, I do think his ceiling is a little bit limited this season. That is Draymond Green. Okay, well, that will do for today's show. That was a good one. Lots of questions. 6 games, very different to tomorrow's show. We only have one game tomorrow, and it is not a fantasy-relevant game. It's the in-season tournament final between the Thunder and the Bucks. I think the Thunder will win. We will see. I like the Thunder. So, yeah, I would like to see them get up. But no fantasy games for 2 days, so nothing to talk about. Now, there are a few shows coming up, though. I've got a show on maybe tomorrow. I might do a mailbag show with Noah. I need to ask Noah first. But, yes, we may do a mailbag show in lieu of a pregame show tomorrow because there are no games, so no fantasy to talk about tomorrow. So could be a mailbag show. The following day I will be doing... there'll be no pregame show because there's no games, but I will be doing a show with over on Dan Bethpress's network on his show, doing some buy lows and sell highs, I believe. the next day, which is Thursday. Yes, Thursday. I'll be doing a show with, well, I'll be doing a pre-game show. And I will also be doing a little bonus show with Dan Titus of Yahoo. He'll be coming on. I'm going to flag with him. He's a tough guy to lock down because he's very busy. But I wouldn't mind doing a weekly show with Dan Titus. It's called something like a. I was going to do the trade talk show, which I think I will still do. So I might incorporate it into one show, almost a Yahoo update kind of show where we can just talk about what's happening in Yahoo. Player, he tweeted something out. I retweeted it yesterday about positional eligibility. So some players have had positions added. So I thought maybe I could get him on maybe 1 week, maybe every 2 weeks to talk about what's happening in Yahoo, changes that have been made to leagues, who's been traded, most added players, all that sort of stuff. We can get all of that data from Yahoo and he's the one that sets all that up. So if he's open to the idea, it might be that I do a bi-weekly show with him and then every other week I might get Michael Waterloo on to do just talk about trades. Anyway, something like that. Another weekly kind of themed show is probably on the agenda because the school holidays are about to start. My holidays are about to start. So I'm going to have a few weeks where I do have more time. So looking forward to that. But as for today, that will do. Good show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And again, please go and download if you can. Let it run in the background. You don't need to listen to it. Just download it. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.